Jackson, W266, DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a minute, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a minute, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
A Shiro's work is never done. You care for the house, the kids, and our future. We're so grateful for all you do. Now, it's time to care for yourself and save a little more for retirement. A free 3-minute online check can give you the personalized tips you need to boost your retirement savings now. Visit aceyourretirement.org today.
A public service announcement brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Ready for our little forest adventure?
Yes!
There's a forest closer than you think. Find a park or forest near you and music inspired by nature at discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by USDA Forest Service and the Ad Council.
What is dedication?
I am the father of a 9-year-old little girl and a 6-year-old little boy.
And I find fatherhood both relentlessly challenging and relentlessly rewarding. My daughter is biological and my son is adopted. I love them both so much, from the morning when you wake up to putting them to bed at night and every moment in between. It really is so special, and boy, is it exhausting. One thing that I fear about being a parent is the future for my children. I think a parent's job is to protect our children, but also prepare them for the world so they become good, kind human beings. But I'm also hopeful that the future holds a more inclusive and compassionate world for them.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow is a product of Courier Newsroom and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
All across Wisconsin from Civic Media, this is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Well, hey there, Wisconsin. Good morning. Welcome to the State of Wisconsin Sense for this Wednesday, February 15th, 2023. It's another beautiful day up here on Lake Wissota, 34 degrees. It rained lightly throughout the day, which is really the best possible thing, especially for those of us who have roofs that face the north and have some ice up there. You want a very slow melt on that. And so we're happy to have a little bit of warmth before we cool down again. Coming up on the program this morning, in this first hour, we ask, why is it so hard to accept a win-win? Because frankly, there should be a celebration at the state capitol tonight. A recovering economy has led to a record state budget surplus, billions of dollars that can be used in ways that address ongoing challenges for schools, for job creation, for clean water, infrastructure, so much more. There's enough there for Democrats and Republicans to fund their top priorities, whether it's spending on some things and tax cuts in other areas. It is the easiest win-win in political history. On the verge of Governor Evers' budget address tonight, we ask, why are Republicans working so hard to lose a win-win and screw up a good thing? Then in our next hour, caring for Wisconsin women over the border. Although the fight continues in capitals and courtrooms, the repeal of Roe v. Wade means women needing full-spectrum quality health care can no longer get it in Wisconsin. The archaic 1849 abortion ban has led to the creation of a new clinic for women willing to cross over into Illinois. We will talk to the clinic's co-founder, as well as former state treasurer, Sarah Godlewski. That's coming up a little later in the show. If you would like to reach us here, the usual phone numbers apply, 844-967-2789 or 715-388-7155. And our email address is radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And you could see all of those things if you care to watch us as well. On Facebook or Twitter, you can either go to the Up North News Facebook page, or you can go to the Facebook page or the Twitter feed of Bull Falls Radio, our station up in Wausau. And later on, we will be joined by Melissa Kay of locally grown radio WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. So a lot of ground to cover today, but first let's bring in Aaron Zommers from our studio in Madison and say good morning to Mr. Zommers.
Good morning, Pat.
How did the rest of your Valentine's Day go, which does not necessarily have to have anything to do with Valentine's, but the day itself?
Went well. I went home and I took a nap, which was pretty nice. And then in the evening, my roommates and I went out to, I can't remember the name of it, a local Mexican restaurant that's really good, because one of my roommates, Ethan, his mom gave him some money like, hey, go celebrate Valentine's Day. And he's like, well, my girlfriend lives in another state. I'm taking out my roommates.
I think that's great. Again, there's no reason anybody should have to, you know, be lonely or feel sorry that they don't have, you know, the perfect romance going or whatever. You know, if you've got friends, if you've got roommates, if you've got yourself, that all works just fine. But since you were at this restaurant, I will ask, you know, how you did on the tipping, because that's our question of the week. It's like you walked right into that. Is 15% still a customary tip for good service? Do you usually tip more or less? How do you feel about tip jars? True confessions. How'd your server do yesterday, and how did you reward that?
They did well, and even if they didn't, I am of the belief that 20% tip is the way to go, because it's part of their wage. And if they had a normal minimum wage like other professions, and then tipping really was an extra thing, then I would think about changing that. But since they have the lower minimum wage for servers, I always just do 20%.
Yeah, same here. Well, good to know. All right, let's do a quick sports here before we have our first break, and then we'll get into some of the headlines of the day. The Bucks now have an 11-game winning streak after beating the Boston Celtics last night, 131-125. Drew Holiday demonstrated just why he's heading to the All-Star game for the first time in a decade, by the way. Holiday matched a career high with 40 points, and in overtime, he sank a go-ahead three-pointer with just 25 seconds left in the extra period so that the Bucks could edge the Celtics in overtime, again, 131-125. And for Drew Holiday, going to the All-Star game this coming weekend for the first time in 10 years, I heard this morning that is the longest drought between first and second All-Star game appearances in NBA's history. But he clearly demonstrated why he has earned that nomination to head back, and he'll be in Salt Lake City this weekend. Meanwhile, the Badger men's basketball team held off Michigan 64-59 last night. Despite the Badgers missing their last 15 shots, they had just enough free throws in the final 10 minutes to hold on and win. Wisconsin is now 7-8 in the Big Ten Conference, 15-10 overall. And the Badgers are home against Rutgers on Saturday. Meanwhile, the 11th-ranked Marquette men's basketball team will be playing tonight at home against Xavier in another showdown to see which team will be on top of the Big East standings. Brewers' first workout for pitchers and catchers is tomorrow, which just brings me great joy. First spring training game is Saturday, February 25th. Season begins Thursday, March 30th down at Wrigley Field. And Aaron Rodgers is whining again about his darkness retreat and the reporters that he says got the details wrong. Not that he's doing this goofy retreat just the day that he's starting it, but again, it's all about the grievances. Let's take a break and cover some headlines around Wisconsin coming up next on Up North News Radio for a Wednesday.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
If you love them enough to listen to them practice the same song on tuba,
please be done.
Over and over and over and over and over. Then surely you'll check nhtsa.gov/the right seat to make sure they're correctly buckled in the back seat.
Sounds good, honey.
Check today at nhtsa.gov/the right seat. Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
Monday morning at 8, don't miss Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, featuring legendary Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Football, life, and fun.
Earl, you've been driving a Yugo. They just gave you a brand new Ferrari with turbo boost. So enjoy it, brother.
Under the Helmet with the Gravedigger, Gilbert Brown and Earl Ingram. Monday morning at 8 on The Shaw, 540 AM and 101.1 FM WAUK.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
A winter storm watch begins at 3 a.m. early tomorrow morning and continues until midnight Friday morning. cloudy skies expected today with a slight chance for scattered showers. High of 45, west winds 20 to 25 miles an hour. Lows around 26 tonight. Snow showers likely tomorrow, 28. 5 to 10 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Eric Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
The Shaw 101 FM, your fix for progressive talk. From Big Bend to Menominee Falls. Always streaming at waukradio.com.
In a sec, we'll get into the twilight zone of not being able to accept a win-win on the state budget. But first, I can't wait to tell Aaron that I found a friend. I found a new friend. He just doesn't know. Well, he kind of knows it because he responded to my friend request. It's all about the Bloom County reference that I made yesterday. If you missed it yesterday, I referenced my favorite Bloom County strip and my favorite line in a Bloom County strip. Man, those Samoans are a surly bunch. And I mean, it's a whole episode about fake diaries. And, you know, it was a big thing in the 80s. Did somebody find the diary of Adolf Hitler? And of course, it turned out to be a forgery. So maybe Margaret Mead. I don't know. Whatever the case may be. Love the comic strip. Love the line. And I put out the note saying, if you get that reference, send me a note. We need to be friends. Well, congratulations, Adam Betzweiser. Because you sent me a note that said, just a note from a morning listener and another old school Bloom County geek. I got the reference to the surly Samoans. My brother and I were devoted readers of the Daily Comic in the early 80s and had all of the early collections. So as an echo from the void, somebody got it. Keep up the good work and have a good day, Adam.
Adam.
Exactly, right? Now, I mean, Adam might be a serial killer. I don't know. But for the moment, I've got a friend. So I'm going to take advantage of that and say that I, too, have almost all of the early Bloom County collection books. The same can be said for all the Charlie Brown Peanuts books, which I really loved as a kid. And, you know, once in a great while, once a year, once every couple of years or so, when I'm in the basement storage room, it'll be fun to flip through those. And, you know, some of them, like old movies, some of them have staying power and they're still funny, and others, you know, lose their luster after a while. I'm sure you have something like that, Aaron, either a comic strip, comic book, program, movie, something like that, where you go, we know which ones are still classics because you watch or read them all the time, but I'm sure you've stumbled upon something where you go, maybe I liked it at the time, but not now.
Yeah, definitely. I think a lot of comic strips have that happen, like a lot of weekly ones in the Sunday funnies or whatever that we used to get. I'm struggling to even think of names, but
I don't have a good movie example name, but I know I've said there's some movies I will always sit down and watch. You know, Dodgeball is one of them. Anchorman is one of them. Caddyshack is one of them. But I do know when I'm going through the TV guide, there's somewhere I go, boy, I really like that movie, but I don't feel the need to, you know, sit down and watch it right now. And you know, who's to say why that is, but yeah, so different things strike you differently.
Our family used to watch the Polar Express every year on Thanksgiving, and we haven't for maybe like 3 or 4 years now. Maybe that's where we're at there.
Yeah, that could very much be. But again, when it comes to something that had as many episodes as a comic strip like Bloom County, again, it was nice to have somebody out there, filling the elderly void along with me. So I appreciate that note. Well, the governor is going to be giving his budget address tonight. And again, look, if you're already listening to this fine radio program, you already care more than a lot of other people do about things like state government and politics and how taxes aren't just some vague notion that you begrudgingly pay, but they actually pay for the valuable services, the roads you're driving on right now as you're listening, or the clean water that's coming out of your tap and so forth. And those services, much like our schools, are all vital. They all require funding. And so tonight, Governor Evers will outline the way that he would pay for various things and how the tax system would work if it were all up to him. Of course, here in a democracy, which I'm quickly learning I need to put in quotation marks. In a democracy, you have a two-party system where the parties are supposed to work together. Again, I'll put work together in quotation marks these days, and then work out a final plan. But the way things stand right now, Governor Evers will deliver his budget address to a Republican-controlled legislature tonight. And unlike any other time in Wisconsin history, the party controlling the legislature will not work off the governor's blueprint and then add and subtract from there, but rather as a symbolic gesture, in other words, just to be jerks, they say they will scrap that, throw it in the wastebasket, and they will build their own budget from scratch. Again, it doesn't matter. You know, they could work off the governor's thing and eventually take out everything. But simply the announcement that they're disregarding it says a lot about the party in power. And we're going to talk more about that in our next segment from a national standpoint of how is it that Republicans can be this way and do these things and essentially get away with it, even when they don't have majority support in the country. We'll talk about that when we discuss Sarah Huckabee Sanders' recent remarks and Nikki Haley entering the presidential campaign officially as well. But to get back to the budget, there is no, the governor has not released the whole thing yet. Obviously, he's going to give that speech tonight, but he has been putting out in drips and drabs some of the elements of it. Other governors have done that as well, so that people see some of the highlights that will be coming, and also that way the whole thing is not a surprise. And speaking of things being not a surprise, one of the previews the governor put out yesterday was his proposal to take $300 million out of the state surplus, a surplus, by the way, of $7 billion, use that $300 million to help the Brewers with renovations at American Family Field. But in return, the Brewers agree to extend their lease for like another quarter century. Again, your classic win-win. Republicans were whining that, you know, that Evers dropped a bombshell on them and didn't consult with them first, et cetera, et cetera. Nobody's believing you. This is what he did. He's putting his proposal out there. Had he dropped it on you during the speech, yes, you could maybe be excused for saying, oh, I wish we'd have heard about it first. You're hearing about it now. It's not like he's going to, not like any governor is going to call every legislator while they're drafting the speech and say, hey, what do you think of this? And what do you think of that? So I guess, you know, spare us the, you know, the fake anger about this. It was a budget preview. You're still going to get to debate on it. You may keep it, you may scrap it. I have a feeling you're going to find a way to mess this up and then bring us drama about maybe the Brewers leaving the state, but you know about it now. The most recent release from the governor's office is more of his framework about what he wants to do for public schools. And again, I emphasize public schools, the neighborhood, community, local, hometown schools, where Wisconsin was a pioneer back in the day of making sure that every child could get a free slash low cost public education. We would all pony up for it so that all of our kids could get a good education. Over the years, Republicans, as they increasingly represent, the interests of just those with a lot of money or those who simply want to be next to people with a lot of money, have worked to chip away at public confidence in our schools, and have created, first on an experimental basis, a couple of voucher schools. But over time, what they have created is a parallel system of schools. You, the taxpayer, are now paying for two school systems in Wisconsin, one of which is accountable through things like school board elections, and one of which is not. It's private, it's often religious, and yet it's getting your tax dollars for results that are not any better than what's in public education, and not nearly as accountable when they screw up. But Governor Evers, being a former state superintendent of public education and an educator himself, has been the one looking out for public schools in the face of a hostile legislature, which would slash public education more if they thought they could get away with it. And so tonight, he's going to be proposing a boost in funding for K-12 schools, a boost of $2.5 billion. That would be a 15% increase over the last state budget, and it would be about $500 million more than Republicans have already said is too much to support. The final details come out tonight as I look at this Milwaukee Journal Sentinel story that was filed in the last hour here by Rory Linane. My apologies if I pronounced the name wrong. But of course, Republicans are already pushing back. They're talking about high inflation and other increases that schools have already received, at least on paper. And, you know, Republicans will, again, throw all of this out and start over. But if you listen to Evers' speech tonight or the excerpts that we may play back in the coming days, you know, here are some of the highlights. Schools will be able to spend $1,000 more per student, the story says here, $350 more per student in the next school year, $650 more the following year. It's those spending caps on how much a school district can spend on students. It's those caps that have been putting a stranglehold on public education and, again, reducing public confidence in those schools and therefore leading people to use taxpayer-funded vouchers to send their kids to private schools, weakening the local schools in their own communities. And Governor Evers is looking to turn that around and give our local public schools the tools that they need. State funds would cover much more of the cost to special education, to those learning English for the first time. Right now, special education in school districts, the state covers less than a third of that cost. And special education, of course, is pricier. Public schools have to take all kids. They don't get to discriminate one way or the other. But the state has been paying less and less and less of that share. And Governor Evers wants to improve that. Evers is proposing to freeze enrollment in the state's private school voucher program. Under the Evers plan, no new students would be allowed to sign up for the programs. Obviously, Republicans are going to fight that tooth and nail. And my prediction has always been on the budget when I talk about it being a win-win. That means each party is going to have to accept something they don't like to get something they do like. And while I hate to use the word realistic, but to be realistic about it, I think the only way that Evers and public schools get increased funding is for Democrats to also, and for Evers also, to accept an increase in funding and accessibility for voucher schools. Again, the whole program ought to be scrapped, but when you've got a $7 billion surplus, you look for win-wins in one way or another. Evers is going to talk about building up the supply of teachers. Wisconsin school districts are hurting for teachers. That was a 1-2 punch by simple demographics because baby boomers are retiring. And then Scott Walker came along and led the Republican assault on Wisconsin's local public school teachers. And now we're hurting. And the governor is going to propose $5 million for a, quote, grow your own program, which will help student staff earn higher degrees. Also, $9 million in stipends for student teachers and $2 million in stipends for teachers who agree to help train student teachers and other programs as well. In another welcome proposal that, again, won't get past the legislature, he would include funding for the remaining school districts with racist mascots to finally get around to helping reimburse the expenses to move away from those mascots and logos and create new ones. Under the Evers proposal, every district would have a full-time mental health professional and school meals would be free so that we no longer have the shaming of students from low-income families when their parents can't afford, you know, to buy lunch for them. So that and so much more coming from the governor, again, in something that should be a win-win. And Republicans should be talking that way. Instead, they'll be belittling and insulting and disrespectful and unable to break out of their shell. Or maybe they'll surprise me tonight. We'll see. More after this. This is Up North News Radio.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha. Always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. There will be a vigil at Michigan State University today honoring victims of Monday's shooting. We've learned more about who they were. CBS's Erica Mokay.
Junior Ariel Anderson, an aspiring pediatrician. Sophomore Brian Frazier, president of his fraternity. And junior Alexandria Werner, an athlete whose positivity changed lives.
Four students are still in critical condition. White House now says those mystery objects shot down over the U.S. and Canada were likely harmless. Correspondent Nancy Cordes.
One looked like a metallic drum. Another was cylindrical and carried a tethered payload. Another was octagonal in shape with strings attached.
More than a week after a toxic train derailment in East Palestine, Ohio, the state health department's Dr. Bruce Vanderhoff says
we are awaiting results of testing of the municipal water sources.
He's urging people to drink bottled water for now. CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
Knucklehead CBD and Vapes is now online at knuckleheads.shop. Step into your favorite smoke shop without leaving your home. Find grinders, papers, Delta 8, and more, all from your computer or phone. With free shipping on all orders over $50, you'll be sure to find exactly what you like. You can also order for in-store pickup, so there's no wait. Knucklehead CBD and Vapes.
Visit Knuckleheads Milwaukee at 2949 North Oakland Avenue.
Order online today at knuckleheads.shop.
Missed your favorite show live on air? It's easy to find what you enjoy wherever you listen to podcasts, including Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And we're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bride.
J.R. Radcliffe is coming back to the show. The timeline of Brett Favre's involvement in a welfare scam in Mississippi.
Brett Favre's camp has denied all wrongdoing. Like, he really feels like he did nothing wrong. So I guess he's a little burned by that.
Celebrating all things Wisconsin. As Goes Wisconsin with host Kristen Bride. Weekdays 11 to 2 on Civic Media and the Civic Media app.
Wait a minute. How about this? Listen to me, you lantern-jawed cretin, you horned-eyed homunculus. You are going to do what's right for the people of Wisconsin. You're putting cans of water in our water, destroying the greatest university system in the country and public education. Knock it off. That is unlikely to be said. That's what I'd say.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
What I know about courage, I learned from my adoptive mom. She said sometimes you just gotta hold on and know we'll get through this.
Mom, we are so high up. Hold my hand.
No, you hold my hand.
Here we go.
Learn about adopting a teen from foster care. You can't imagine the reward. Visit AdoptUSKids.org to find out more. This message is brought to you by AdoptUSKids, the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, and the Ad Council.
I'm 54, so it's too late to start saving for retirement, right?
Not right. Starting to save, even in your 50s, can really make a difference. At aceyourretirement.org, in just 3 minutes, you'll get a free personalized retirement plan.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
A reminder coming up in our next segment, Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio in Wisconsin Rapids joins us as she does every Wednesday to talk about things being covered on WFHR, our civic media station there, and to help us with our music break and look at this day in history. So that's all coming up in about 15 minutes. I was going to talk about a couple of national stories, and I'm going to get to them in a second, but I was reading from a state budget story in the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And they put out their new stories each morning at about 6 a.m., as it just so happens. And two other stories have caught my eye, but before I share them, I feel like it's only right to say, y'all need to subscribe to the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And they're not paying me to say this, but if I'm going to be passing along the stories that they are covering, and rather than feel like a schmuck for telling you what they've got there, you know, for free, there are some places where I would advocate, yeah, if there's a paywall, you know, you should subscribe. And the Journal Sentinel is one of them. You might also care to subscribe to the Wisconsin State Journal, Cap Times. I would strongly encourage you to, if you have any interest in Wisconsin news and politics, to get a paid subscription to Dan Schaefer's The Recombobulation Area. I pay for a subscription for the New York Times and for the Washington Post. And then there are these, again, more of these insidery things that you might not have an interest in, but maybe you are and you're looking for recommendations. There, of course, is, you know, WIS Politics. There's Wisconsin Health News. There's the Wisconsin Business Journal. So there's no shortage of places that rely on paid subscriptions to get their work done. Now, Up North News is not one of those. We don't have a paywall. We never will. You know, we do look and really appreciate everybody who subscribes and clicks through our stories. Then that helps us with our own, you know, underwriting funding sources. A reminder that Up North News is part of Courier Newsroom. We are completely separate from Civic Media, but we are very thankful to Civic Media for letting us use their real estate between 6 and 8 in the morning to inform you through the stories that we cover and the stories that we see elsewhere, like the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. And so the two stories that I was looking at during the break that I just want to tease briefly here. Ron Johnson. Ron Johnson's lonely. Even though they are rare. And just a little, yeah. Ron Johnson has long raised doubts about the efficacy of the coronavirus vaccine. He's pushed debunked theories. He's now making clear what a focus he's going to put on the vaccine. Johnson said in a radio interview last month, "The only reason I ran again, quite honestly, is nobody else is advocating for the vaccine injured. Nobody else is making this point because, by and large, as a society, we are in a complete state of denial. But I'm going to be relentless in trying to pursue the truth, expose the truth, so that we can prevent further harm." Which leads to my rather strong reaction, which I believe I can get away with saying because it is completely my personal opinion, that we will never know how many people, how many deaths can be laid at the feet of Ron Johnson and all others who have passed along so shamefully the misinformation about the COVID vaccine. And basically he's saying, and I'm not afraid to kill again. And that's what he wants to use with his spotlight. And so we're going to use ours to, as much as possible, debunk him and belittle the effort to play into the hands of people who, quite frankly, strike me as pro-pandemic. The other story should also make you a little frustrated. The headline is, "The state of Maryland took strong steps to reduce lead poisoning, but they're not allowed in Wisconsin." In Maryland, the Journal Sentinel story says, responding to lead poisoning is a bipartisan issue, so bipartisan that the level of lead poisoned children has dropped to 1.2% by 2019 under the leadership of a politically divided state government. There was a Democratic-run legislature. The governor was a Republican. So again, lead poisoning levels in Maryland dropped to 1.2%. In Wisconsin, it's more than double that, almost triple that, 3.3%. And again, by and large, they're renters of old places that used used lead paint. In Maryland, there were tighter regulations of the rental market, but most of the regulations in Maryland are illegal in Wisconsin due to laws written by Republicans after they took control of the legislature in 2011. Maryland's lead laws have strict regulations on lead abatement of rental properties. They require landlords to undergo mandatory inspections for lead hazards prior to renting out their units. But Wisconsin law passed by Republicans prohibits a city from requiring inspections of any kind prior to a tenant moving in and only require landlords to disclose known lead hazards rather than fully inspect them and know what the dangers are. Why? Again, a group of people that are essentially, I mean, pro-harm, pro-death, whatever, you know. By the way, along that same line, while I'm going after Ron Johnson and Republicans on vaccines and on lead paint, let's talk for 8 seconds about the mass shooting in Michigan State University. Again, those deaths are on the hands of every Republican who has fought against basic, universally supported gun safety measures. So, Aaron, I can't answer that question. I don't why.
Yeah, that's really all it is. It's just why.
Yeah.
Why I on mean, earth would you not want to inspect for lead poisoning?
I don't have an answer to it other than to say we're just going to continue to mention it. That's really it. So I will probably get to the reason why once I cover a couple of national stories here about Republicans. Let me start with Nikki Haley, the former South Carolina governor, announcing her candidacy for president, even though she had said some time back that, you know, if Donald Trump ran, she wouldn't run. But now she's changed her mind. But this is not the first time that she has changed her mind about Donald Trump. There is a New York Times opinion piece by Republican strategist Stuart Stevens that is titled "Nikki Haley Threw It All Away." And he writes that when he first met Nikki Haley many years ago when she was governor, whatever that thing is that talented politicians possess, Nikki Haley had it. People liked her. She seemed to have unlimited potential. Then she threw it all away. No political figure better illustrates the tragic collapse of the modern Republican Party than Nikki Haley. He goes on. When Donald Trump ran in 2016, Nikki Haley stood next to Senator Marco Rubio, the candidate she had endorsed, and eviscerated Trump as a racist that the party must reject. She said, "I will not stop until we fight a man that chooses not to disavow the Ku Klux Klan. This is not a part of our party. This is not who we want as president." She was courageous, he writes, fighting on principle, a warrior who would never back down until she did. By 2019, Nikki Haley, who had removed the Confederate flag from state buildings in South Carolina, was defending the Confederate flag in one interview, saying that the Charleston church shooter had simply hijacked the Confederate flag that, quote, people see as service, sacrifice, and heritage. In her 2019 book, With All Due Respect, she mentions Trump 163 times, overwhelmingly complimentary. Stuart Stevens writes about how Trump has a pattern of breaking opponents who challenge him in a primary, but he says Ms. Haley enters the race already broken. She had warned the party about Trump, but now she knows that the party doesn't want to be saved. A poll of Republican voters shows that Trump and Florida Governor Ron DeSantis together get about 80% of support in Republican primary voters. Nikki Haley is polling at 3%. Stuart Stevens concludes, Nikki Haley will never be the voice of truth that she briefly was in 2016. But she will also never be MAGA enough to satisfy the Trump base of her party. But no one should feel sorry for Nikki Haley. It was her choice. Another article from Jamel Bowie talks about the State of the Union response from Arkansas governor and, per, you know, known liar, Sarah Huckabee Sanders. And this one really gets into the notion of who are Republicans talking to and why are they talking the way that they are? And I'm not going to read the parts about her speech. It was loathsome. It was as least common denominator as Trump's inaugural speech was, really appealing to, you know, the darker side of people's nature. And Jamel Bowie questions why this is. Why aren't you in a State of the Union response from the minority party, or the party not in the White House, rather? Why aren't you trying to build a broad national coalition? But Bowie gets it right in saying there's no need to build a broad coalition of voters if, because of the malapportionment of the national legislature, the gerrymandering of legislative districts, the electoral college, and the strategic position of your voters in the nation's geography, you don't need one to win. And if your political party already has a tight hold on the highest court of constitutional interpretation, you don't even need to win elections to clear the path for your preferred outcomes and ideology. He goes on, Sarah Huckabee Sanders did not deliver a broad and accessible response to the State of the Union for the same reason that congressional Republicans refused to moderate or even acknowledge the existence of the median voter. Sanders doesn't have to, and the party doesn't have to. The American political system is so slanted right now toward the overrepresentation of the Republican Party's core supporters, rural and exurban conservatives, that even when their views and priorities are far from those of the typical voter, the Republican Party is still more competitive than it deserves to be. And that's what it comes down to at the state legislative level as well. You know, he puts it much more in much more lofty terms than I would use. I would simply say they cheated. And by cheating and by rigging the maps and by putting politicians on Supreme Courts, they've been able to grab power and wield it despite being a minority party. They have a far minority view. In some cases, it's just under 50-50, but in so many other cases, like basic gun safety requirements, they are far outside the mainstream. On abortion rights, they are far outside the mainstream. And yet they are able to get away with that for just the reasons I explained. Not just rigging the maps most recently, but the fact that the U.S. Senate is essentially a gerrymander when the handful of Republicans in Wyoming get the same two votes as tens of millions of people in California. The system was set up in a way more than 200 years ago that worked well for a small nation, a small homogenous nation at that time. For a large, diverse nation, it's not working. And Republican politicians have figured out how to use that system to their advantage. So what do we do about that? Well, you have to work within the system, or you're no different than any of the insurrectionists who tried to rig an election for Donald Trump a couple of years back, which is why we have this relentless emphasis on voting, of voting in every election. Every one of them counts. And that obviously includes the upcoming Supreme Court election, state Supreme Court election. And for that, I can't say enough that we're just 6 days away from taking a field of four candidates and whittling it down to the final two. Now, next Tuesday, if not sooner, if you vote absentee, you'll see those four names on there and you will be asked to vote for one of them. And then the top two vote getters move on to April. There are two conservative candidates, former Justice Dan Kelly and Waukesha County Judge Jennifer Doro. And there are two progressive candidates, Dane County Judge Everett Mitchell and Milwaukee County Judge Janet Protasiewicz. And there's no telling which two will advance. And by the way, whoever wins in April, that determines whether conservatives or progressives control the court by a 4-3 majority. And progressives controlling the court would allow the state to look at that issue of gerrymandering, look at that 1849 abortion ban, and maybe change it. But the top two vote getters could be the two conservative candidates, and then there wouldn't be a progressive choice in April. It all depends on who votes 6 days from now. We'll take a music break with Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio next. You're up north.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
It makes me smile and you have a piano, but if you can play the Peanuts theme song.
Oh my gosh.
You know he can.
Yes.
On the Devil's Radio.
Sync Radio, Saturday nights, 6 p.m. to midnight on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw. A winter storm watch begins at 3 a.m. early tomorrow morning and continues until midnight Friday morning. 45 today, under cloudy skies, west winds 20 to 25 miles an hour. 26 tonight, overcast. Snow showers likely tomorrow, high of 28. 5 to 10 inches of snow tomorrow through tomorrow night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 45 degrees.
WAUK 540 AM, Franklin's choice for news talk radio. Streaming 24/7 at waukradio.com.
EX.
Good Lord, I could listen to her all day long, that voice. Linda Ronstadt had the number one song on this day in 1975. Her album, Heart Like a Wheel, also hit number one on this day in 1975, paving the way for her to become one of the biggest stars of the 1970s. And we are now joined by Melissa Kay from locally grown radio, WFHR in Wisconsin Rapids. Melissa, good morning.
Good morning, Pat. How are you?
I am great, thank you. Thoughts on Linda Ronstadt in your wheelhouse, not in your wheelhouse?
I love Linda Ronstadt. I actually got to sing her songs when I was in a rock band years ago.
What?
Nice.
Wow. Yeah.
Awesome.
You're No Good and Blue Bayou. I can actually play that one on the guitar a little bit.
Ooh. Wow. We are going to have to, I mean, we're just talking, you know, music and news and fun here. We're going to just have a musical segment where you bring your guitar and.
Okay. Give me like 6 months to practice.
Want to join another band with a couple of 24-year-olds?
What about the 24-year-olds?
I said, want to join another rock band with a couple of
24-year-olds? Hey, we might be onto something here. I mean, weren't you? You were saying. We'll do all the other music history stuff in a second here, but you know, while we're on the topic of music and plays and things, you're talking about a play that's going on now or coming up in Wisconsin
it's
Rapids.
It's coming up. I believe it opens the first weekend in March. So the Wisconsin Rapids Community Theater is putting on A Streetcar Named Desire, which is a pretty out there show to do. I don't know if you guys have seen the movie, but it's tensions are up there in that show, but it sounds like it's going to be awesome.
Good luck. But this, you're not in this one.
No, I'm not in this one.
All right.
I'm
well,
just
again,
helping promote it.
We'll give you 6 months and we'll see what you're in next besides this one. Back to the music. This was, this song was recorded on February 15th, 1961 by the Marcells.
Bom, 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 dang, 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 ding, dong, ding, blue moon, 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 blue.
I feel like so many people know the beginning of that song, but if there are more lyrics beyond that, it's like Louie Louie. We don't, you know, we just kind of move our lips around, but people know that. This day in 1954, Canada and the United States agreed to construct the Distant Early Warning Line, a new system of radar stations in the far northern Arctic regions of Canada and Alaska. Back in 1954, when they built this warning line of radar systems, it appears they did not set it for balloons, Melissa, or we might have found these things a little bit earlier.
They just don't go up high enough.
I guess. I honestly think, like a lot of other people, I mean, the first Chinese balloon clearly was, you know, something from the Chinese government. These other three that have been shot down, they're saying they might just be random objects, you know, balloons that went up, whether it's weather balloons or commercial or whatever. We weren't ever looking carefully for them before. Yeah. Yeah. There's no telling what's above our head right now.
Nope.
On this day in 1967, a group of music students at Chicago's DePaul University gathered in one of the guy's apartments. And these music students agreed to form a 7-piece rock ensemble with horns. Initially, it was called The Big Thing. They later changed the band's name to Chicago Transit Authority and then simply Chicago. Again, another one of my favorites. This is Does Anybody Really Know What Time It Is? Which is weird, Melissa, because you and I, we get paid to know what time it is and give the time and temperature frequently.
Indeed.
Yeah. The thing I always note when I think of Chicago and their unique horn sound was the Dire Straits song, The Sultans of Swing from the 1980s, with that line, they don't give a damn about any trumpet playing band. And I'm like, now, why are you taking a shot at Chicago like that? You know, there's room for everybody, right?
That's not fair.
Yeah. Also on the history calendar today.
I love Chicago. I remember hearing.
Oh, still one of my favorites. I have pretty much everything on my phone, and it's nice to listen to now and then. In fact, here's a fun fact. My alarm every morning at 4:30 is Chicago's Wishing You Were Here. Not so much because of the song, but it starts with just this very light guitar strumming and the sound of ocean waves crashing on the shore. And I wake up right away. So the first thing I hear is just this very gentle sound. And you know I'm really sleepy if I'm actually hearing the song itself. But, you know, so just a little free reminder. Somebody's looking for something gentle on there as their phone alarm. What do you have a song as yours, or do you have like the actual like an actual beeping alarm?
For my alarm?
For your alarm, yeah, to get up.
I don't have songs. I have just a...
How about you, Aaron?
I have one of the default songs that I just picked whichever one sounded the most, like, synthy because I felt like it.
Synthy. I like that. Okay.
Yeah, mine's kind of tinkly.
This should have been Chris Farley's 59th birthday. Unfortunately, he passed away in 1997. Rapper Megan Thee Stallion is 28 today. Her born as Megan Pete. We now know her by her more stallion-like name. The suffragist Susan B. Anthony was born on this day in 1820. On 1879, on this day, President Rutherford B. Hayes signed a bill allowing female attorneys to argue cases before the Supreme Court. 1879. That was 30 years after Wisconsin had its abortion ban passed. That's how long ago this thing was, and that we're still talking about it today. Unhappier news, on this day in 1987, Ben and Jerry's introduced a brand new flavor called Cherry Garcia, named for the Grateful Dead singer. So, Ben and Jerry's fan, Melissa?
Yes, because now they make non-dairy ice cream.
Oh, okay. Is that a relatively new thing? Or
within the last, I'd say, 5 years, maybe.
Okay. What is the one that I like so much? Oh, fish food. P-H-I-S-H,
yes.
name for the band. There's all kinds of amazing
anything with cookie dough.
Oh, cookie dough is always a winner too. Anything that you can put into, you know, ice cream that tastes good, not only does it sell well, but you can overcharge like crazy for it.
Yes.
And that's what they do. And final note, in 2016, so 7 years ago today, Taylor Swift takes the Grammy for Album of the Year, 1989. And this is a Style playing in the background. In her acceptance speech, Tay-Tay warns her fans of, quote, people along the way who will try to undercut your success or take credit for your accomplishments. This was a not at all subtle reference to Kanye West for claiming in his song, Famous, that, quote, and this is a quote from Kanye's song, I made that bitch famous, end quote. To which pretty much everyone else on planet Earth looked at Kanye and said, bitch, please. No, you did not make Taylor Swift, but you know, nice effort. Although everybody appreciates a good beef in the music business or whatever. We don't have that in civic media yet. We need a good beef. Is there anybody in the civic media empire you want to fight with?
Seth and I have an ongoing rivalry constantly. Every time we're on air together.
Okay, good.
He claims he's the right hand for James and I'm the left. You know, I'm okay with that because left is better, but whatever.
All right, well, settle down, you two. Let's not get violent here. Melissa Kay from Locally Grown Radio, thanks so much. Always good to talk to you.
Yes, you too, Pat.
All right, have a great day. We will be back with more on Up North News Radio coming up in just a bit.
work, the kids' practices, household errands. Seems like every hour's rush hour at our house. But no matter how busy things get, we still make balanced nutrition a priority with help from Country Hearth Natural Breads. Whole grains and other natural ingredients are carefully blended and baked into delicious, nutritious breads like Dakota-style 12-grain, multi-grain, and 100% whole wheat. There's a Country Hearth favorite for everyone in the family. Country Hearth Breads, baking our best for you.
It's easy to listen to your favorite local radio station anytime. Download the Civic Media app from the Apple or Google Play Store, then listen live or whenever you want from anywhere for free.
Hey, son, how are you feeling?
I'm fine, Pops.
What's on your mind?
I can't explain it.
When your kid can't find the language, find the lyrics. Start a conversation at soundedouttogether.org. Brought to you by Ed Council.
You are listening to WAUK 540 AM Jackson, W266 DR Waukesha, always streaming on the Civic Media app.